A queer thing is happening in India. India is going to the polls with the usual fanfare of the world's largest democratic experiment. But this is an election with a difference. For the first time ever, gay issues are part of the election debate in India. This is Sandeep Roy in New Delhi. It's not that gays are invisible in India these days. There are plenty who are out, especially in the cities. Gay film festivals, gay parties, even boisterous LGBT pride marches. But politically, there's been a studied silence, a sort of don't ask, don't tell. That was punctured in December when the Supreme Court overturned a High Court verdict from 4 years ago and recriminalized homosexual acts in India. A small step for the court, a giant step back for gay rights in India. In all the hullabaloo that followed, suddenly politicians could no longer hide behind don't ask, don't tell. They were asked, and most of them had to tell. And now it's in two major election manifestos, the ruling Congress and the Communist Party of India. Both have spoken against the sodomy law. Cynics say that's because both expect to lose in the elections. Anjali Gopalan, head of the NAS Foundation India Trust, which fought the law, says that's okay.
I don't think we should look a gift horse in the mouth. Let's go with what they've said and hold them accountable to it.
Activist Gautam Bhan.
None of us believes that this will automatically lead to implementation. But now there is something to call people out on. And what also happens is that when a series of political parties on the spectrum put down in writing and publicly their support, then all the parties that don't, and in our case there's only one party that is sort of national party that is violently opposed, then their silence is no longer a non-stand on the issue. Their silence is a very active, loud silence as a refusal to take a stand on the issue.
Now there's talk about things we've never heard about in India. An LGBT Charter of Demands, studies about LGBT voting preferences, even an LGBT voting bloc. Anjali says, not so fast.
I don't think we can have an LGBT voting bloc unless people are going to come out and be open about who they are. So it's a chicken and egg situation here. So how many people are comfortable? If you want to be a bloc, it has to be fairly large numbers, otherwise you're not a bloc.
As for the Charter of Demands...
And frankly, a Charter of Demands, it's great to have it. But do you think anyone's listening? I mean, do we honestly feel today that our voices are being heard? I don't think so. I could be wrong. And that judgment made sure it quashed the voices that were coming up.
But Gautam says, unlike 10 years ago, there's a new generation of out Indians, especially in the cities, who have no intention of going back into any closet.
I think the question is that the political struggle and this move to a new space has come at a time when the movement is ready to take it on. I don't think at previous times there was enough strength and enough numbers and enough general support for the cause.
If the Supreme Court had just decriminalized gay sex between consenting adults, then gay rights would have just moved along smoothly in India. Now it enters the messy realm of electoral politics.
We're used to dealing with the judiciary. We're not very used to dealing with the executive. But I think it's very much an opening that we must take.
There's still a judicial option. The Supreme Court might take up a curative petition. But Anjali agrees that this setback has actually also opened new doors.
A lot of good things happened with the setback. At least you forced political parties to take a stand. One did, one was kind of, as always, dithering, and the other said no, but that's fine. At least you know where we stand.
That might sound like looking for a rainbow lining in a dark cloud. And manifestos can mean little after the election's over. But it does mean that even politicians can't pretend anymore that there are no gays in India. This is Sandeep Roy in New Delhi for KALW.